Gravy. Gravy's just been laying around, ain't he? Have you got a dog named Biscuit too? Okay. Just one. Oh, is that Jimmy say? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and you can give this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for seed we can sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you will multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Do what? Baby Hope is here in the house, along with her big brother Jubal. Who, Jubal, you know, you have to teach her how she's supposed to act, how she's supposed to teach to treat people, you know, the difference between what's good and bad. You're going to have to teach her all that. That's all right, son. Truth you know sets you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. Here you go. Okay, set it there. Hallelujah. They grow up way too fast. You got your Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Not Jeremiah, Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Got a Bible like mine. It's page 1134. You know, this week I saw something that really bothered me. Everybody, now let's see. Who doesn't know what today is? Sunday? What's most of America looking forward to today? Football. They're going to kick that little leather pigskin around on TV all day long today. Amen? So, probably some of you have heard of a quarterback named Drew Brees. Huh? Yeah. So, anybody know where he played college football at? Nope. Now you're guessing. For $10, I'll tell you, because I know you got 10. You only spent 10 of that 20. So, no, just kidding. He played at Purdue. But the big thing about Drew Brees is he's a Christian. And he simply made a public service announcement this week for Focus on the Family. And he was promoting Bring Your Bible to School this week. Okay? And because he promoted that, everybody on the liberal left persecuted him, said he was a hater because he was supporting a hate group called Focus on the Family. Okay? Well, stay with me. Wait a minute. So that brings me to my point. Tolerance to the left is you've got to agree with us. You've got to condone my sin. If you disagree, then you're a hater. So that threatens my freedom of speech, does it not? That threatens my freedom of religion. Don't you for a second doubt that there's an element in this country that doesn't want to take your freedom of speech and your freedom of religion away. Because God said, through his son Jesus, you go, you preach the gospel, you lay hands on the sick. Amen? You fill people with the Holy Spirit. Did he not? If they take my freedom of speech away, if they take my freedom of religion away, how am I going to fulfill the Great Commission? Amen. He said, you make disciples. Glory to God. So there is an attack on Christianity in this nation. So I wanted to draw your attention to Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, because Daniel is praying for his nation. Amen. Our nation is in need of prayer. Our nation is in need of revival. You've heard me say many, many times that in the beginning of this nation, there were liberals. And the answer to the liberals in the beginning of this nation was the first and second great awakening. Men like Jonathan Edwards. He preached a message. You can Google his message on hell and read the whole thing. It's really, there's nothing in it that really jumps out and smacks you. But when he preached it under the anointing of God, thousands of people gave their heart to Jesus. Amen. See, that's what Moses told God. When God told Moses, he said, "Ah, this stiff-necked people, Moses, I'm about tired of them. Let's just wipe them out, Moses. I'll start over with you." Actually, pretty good deal for Moses. But Moses said, "God, you know, the thing," I'm going to paraphrase, "the thing that separates us, God, from the rest of this world is that your presence is with us. And if you're not going to go with us, Lord, I don't want to go." And, you know, it's the same today. You know, a year or two ago, we taught on three different types of covenants that we see in the biblical text. The first one was the blood covenant. Anybody remember what the blood covenant did? What? Yeah, they put the blood on the doorpost. But the blood covenant, the blood was shed for the remission of your sin. But through the blood covenant, you were brought into servanthood with God. Amen. But then we find later on in the Hebrew Bible, we find the salt covenant, where you if you're making a covenant with another person, you know, all men carried around, in ancient times they carried around a little pouch of salt. And so what they would do to cut a salt covenant is they would take their salt, a little bit of their salt, each one salt, and mix it together. And then they would dip bread in it, and they would eat the bread, and that would solidify that salt covenant. And the idea was, the only way you could break that covenant was if you could put the salt out there and separate each grain. How many know that'd be impossible? So they would take the salt that they mixed, and they would half it, and they would put it in their pouch. Very, very much symbolic that they now were in a covenant agreement with each other that was forever. And they made that covenant agreement with God, and as they made that salt covenant agreement that was forever, right, you move from a servant to a friend of God. Amen? You're on the journey. But now that you're a friend of God, you're still a servant. You've just moved into another level of knowing God. Amen. And then remember the third covenant we talked about there a couple year or two ago was the sandal covenant. The sandal covenant. Remember the story of Ruth in Ruth chapter 4? Her mother-in-law, Naomi, she was married to a Jewish man. They moved to Moab, and her sons, she had two sons, and they married a Moabite woman. Women. One was it Oprah? It was Orpah, I believe her name was. I always want to call her Oprah, but Orpah. Orpah was one of the Moabites, and Ruth was the other one. Well, the two sons died, and Naomi's husband died, and so she tells her daughter-in-law's, "Man, you know, I can't offer you anything. I don't have any sons for you to marry. You know, just skedaddle on back to your own people." But Ruth hung around, remember? Ruth said, "No, I'm not going anywhere." And Ruth said, "I'm going to be with you. Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God." Amen. How many of you know there's a lot of people in America today that they need to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Amen. All right, let me keep going here. So what happens? Well, the custom was, the tradition was, Naomi, who sold her land and left Israel and went into Moab, she's going to go back to the land of her father. She goes back to Israel, and you could get your land back if you had a kinsman, a relative. Your nearest relative could redeem what you had sold. And so there's a man there that's a close relative to Naomi, and there's another man, Boaz. Of course, Naomi's pretty sharp, you know. She's pretty sharp. And Ruth must have been a looker. You know what I mean, Bernie? Ruth must have been a looker, because Naomi said, hey, guess what? What was it you said in Sunday school? A hunk of burning love. Is that what you said? Naomi must have said something to Ruth like, hey, there's this wealthy hunk of burning love named Boaz. Go down there and see, they would allow the poor, after they had reaped the harvest, they would allow the poor to go into the fields and glean the fields, get what was left, so to support the poor. And she said, you go down there to Boaz's field, and you glean down there. Well, guess who saw her? Boaz. Boaz saw her. So Boaz was like, This is a daughter of Naomi. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Let me get home and check my family tree. Oh, Naomi's right there. I could redeem her land, and I could marry this beautiful woman. Huh? But he's got a problem. There's another man who is a closer relative. There's a higher tree branch. He's got to lop off that branch of that family tree. And so he tells this guy, hey, you can redeem Naomi's land. He says, yeah, I'll do that. Oh, but wait a minute, you got to marry Ruth. Oh, man. You guys probably like, no, I don't need any more mouths to feed. Amen. And so he takes his sandal off and gives his sandal to Boaz. What he was doing is he was giving Boaz his inheritance. Remember what God told the children of Israel? Every place the sole of your feet shall trod, I will give you as an inheritance. So the sandal became a symbol or emblem of inheritance. They actually would use old sandals to mark the property boundary. So now Jesus comes along, he takes the sandals off the disciples, and he washes their feet. Whew, my God, my King. He was saying, fellas, y'all been fishermen, y'all been businessmen, y'all got good fathers, you got good families, but listen, I'm going to take you to another level. I'm going to take you to another inheritance. I'm going to bring you into sonship now. Amen. There's a new inheritance you have. So we have the blood covenant brings us into servanthood, but we're not supposed to camp out in servanthood. Remember, we're supposed to keep walking with God, right? Christianity is a journey. We're walking with God. We're to be growing in our knowledge and understanding of God. When you come into a worship service where the Spirit of God is like this morning, you ought not come in and be able to sit like a bump on a log. If you do, then you're not walking. You're camped out somewhere. You're camped out. Oh, God, you don't know how bad I got it. God don't care how bad you got it. God don't care where you've been. I heard somebody pray, God, you know how bad I've been. God don't care how bad you've been. God only cares about where you're going. So we're in a blood covenant. We're a servant of God. But now he's moving us to a salt covenant. We're a friend of God. Amen. But now he wants to take us into sonship. He wants to take us into a new inheritance. Let me tell you something. The promise God made to Israel was a land. Okay? It was a land. It was a piece of ground in the Middle East we call Israel. But the promise to you is a little different. That's just a picture. That's just a picture of the promise God has made to you to fill you with the Spirit of His Son. Whew. See, God took you from a servant to a friend to a son, and now He wants you to house the Creator of the universe. Whew. There you got it. Priests and kings. Glory to God. Who hung out at the temple? Priests and kings. Why? Because the presence of God dwelt there. But now my Bible says you're the temple of the living God, Jackie. Now the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Spirit of the Son. And why does the Spirit of the Son live in us? So that we have the right to cry out and the ability to cry out, Abba, Father. Glory to God. Getting to heaven's not the goal. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, maybe 10. Getting to heaven is not the goal. Walking with God is the goal. Getting to that place where I can call Him my friend. Getting to that place where I can cry out, Abba, Daddy, I love you. Getting to that place when I am over here and I'm sitting underneath that old feel sorry for me tree. I can say, God, my faith's just a little low. I don't feel like I got much hope, but Daddy, can I just sit right here? Can I just sit right here on your lap today? Rather than feeling sorry for yourself, wouldn't it be better just to cozy up to God? I mean, He loved you so much that He took His most precious instrument of creation, His wisdom, and incarnated in the flesh for one reason. That's wrong. Two reasons. One, we'll call it 1A. 1A was to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. But 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E, and 1F, I'm not going to try to dazzle you the rest of the alphabet, was He wanted you reconciled back to Him. And the first people, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, that came to this nation understood that. And so, and in all of our government, even with our money, it says in God we trust. But somehow, some way, this nation got off that journey with God. We quit walking with God. You know, the American dream is a great thing. But when the American dream replaces God, now we have a problem, Houston. And somewhere along the line in our history, America, we got off the journey. And we need to find our way back. I believe as Jeremiah, God says, find the ancient path. Get back to that path of God where you're walking with God. So if you're in Daniel 9, I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning. Daniel chapter 9, I want you to see Daniel's prayer, because I want you to understand this is a prayer he prays for the nation, and our nation needs to get back on that walk with God. Amen. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel had prophesied to the children of Israel that the Babylonians were going to conquer them, destroy Jerusalem, and they would be in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Daniel was one of those who was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and taken back to Babylon. Verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer, supplications, and with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Did you catch that part? Because we're fasting right now, this church is. Amen. How many days we got left? About 30 some. So if we're just fasting, not eating certain foods, not eating a lot of food, and we're just fasting, basically we're going hungry. Okay? But if we're fasting and praying and seeking the face of God, now we're doing something. Now we're doing something beneficial. I'm not saying eating proper foods or cutting back on our portions in America is not beneficial. It certainly is. But we're not fasting for weight loss, although that's probably a good side effect. We're fasting in order, like Bernie said, to bring that flesh under control. Amen? So while we're fasting, we need to apply to that fast prayer. Amen? Seeking the face of God. And in particular, seeking the face of God for this nation and this city. I was coming in here today, and I was thinking about this city. And I was thinking about, I'll tell you a quick story, and I'll get back to my text. I was riding with Granny one day, Granny Wise. I don't know how many of you remember Granny. Granny wasn't no bigger than a peanut, okay? But she was very opinionated. Oh, yeah. She was very opinionated, okay? But she told me one time, we're driving somewhere, and she says, "They're going to build a hotel and a restaurant." I said, "Where?" She said, "Here in Arden." So we went to wherever we were going, and we were coming back, and it hit me. I said, "What, Granny, where are they building that hotel and restaurant?" "What hotel and restaurant?" I said, "I don't know. It's your story. You said they're going to build a hotel and restaurant in Arden." "They are?" Well, they're building two hotels now. They're building a second one, amen? But I was thinking about our city. I was thinking about this city and this nation coming in and just how much the devil has stolen. Because I believe the church went to sleep at the wheel. We chased a lot of things, but we didn't chase after God. Amen. And it's a sad state for a city. Don't anybody get mad at me. Amen. Y'all thank God we got a godly mayor. Amen. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Amen. I didn't make that up. It's in your biblical text. Amen. But it's pretty sad indictment when, if the Tigers go 3-7 or 5-5, is everybody's depressed. When our lives hang on whether a football team wins games or not, that's really a sad indictment. Amen. So, I was there, but when they were 3-7, I wasn't hanging my head anywhere, you know. Let's get back to the text. The point is, the devil has stolen so much from this city and so much from America, and God needs people like Daniel who are willing to fast and pray and seek his face in order that God might be able to pour his spirit out and turn things around. We're in a time of repentance, teshuvah. Teshuvah carries the idea, we take teshuvah in Hebrew and we translate it as repentance. The root word for teshuvah, shuv, S-H-U-V, means to return, amen? But it also means to restore. Glory to God. Did you know this city used to be called Little Chicago? Huh? Because it was bustling You know, one of the saddest things for me and Deb is, you know, we went to the game the other night. We parked in Central Christian's big grassy field there. Makes it easy. But as we're coming up, what is that? 8th Street? 9th Street? Coming down towards the, what street is that? 7? No, I'm over one. I'm coming down by Jack Davis's dentist office. 9th. Coming down 9th Street. And Deb says, man, I wish the pool was still there. Because when I was a kid, man, there was all kinds of people there. Amen? I mean, it was a bustling place. I hate to see it closed. But the point is, the devil has stolen so much from this city and from this nation. We need people who are willing to pray. And I'm telling you about the whole tri-state. The devil stole from this whole tri-state area. We need him to put it back, and we need to put back sevenfold. Amen? But we need people like Daniel who will set their face towards God, fast and seek his face. Now watch Daniel's prayer. Verse 4. And I prayed to Yahweh, my Elohim, and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. He's confessing. He's making a confession. What do you think he's confessing? The sins of the nation. He's confessing the sins of the nation. As we are seeking God's face, we need to be seeking, or we need to be confessing the sins of this nation. Amen? Let me keep going. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face. And it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far, far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belong shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. Now, let me say something to you. I was talking to Debbie about this morning as we was coming down here. You know, there's a group of people that say, you know, if they want to be gay, that's no skin off my teeth. You know, if that person wants to do whatever, I let them do it, you know. But here's the thing. When God judges a nation, it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen? Somebody say amen or oh me. Okay? So it's important that we pray for our nation. It's important that we ask God for a sense of urgency. And that's what fasting does. Fasting actually puts your flesh over here and allows your spirit to hear from God, to feel the heart of God. And I believe the heart of God right now, there is a sense of urgency in his heart right now for this nation, for the nation of Israel. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. And the thing that bothers me the most is it's being taught on our college campuses. All right, let me keep reading. I almost got on my soapbox just for a second. Yeah. Verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse of the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him, and he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges who judge us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. I will stop right there. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. In 70 AD, the house of God in Jerusalem was destroyed. Disaster came upon them. Disaster came upon them in Jeremiah's time, in Daniel's time, when Jerusalem is destroyed and Solomon's temple was destroyed. If God destroyed his temple in Jerusalem, do you think that we will escape disaster here? No way. I heard one preacher say one time, how can I say this? I don't care about being politically correct. That's not in my DNA. I don't really care. One guy said, if God doesn't destroy California, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You ever heard that? because of their anyway. Let me get back here. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. I believe that America has time. If God's people, and he said this to Solomon, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. But as we're fasting and praying, let's not waste this 40-day fast by just simply going hungry. Let's seek the face of God. Take time. I'll tell my wife, since we started this fast, see, I thought all our TVs was broke, because all that was ever on them was the Hallmark Channel. I mean, you go downstairs, Hallmark. Go upstairs, Hallmark. Man, the channel changers must be broke. There's even a little one in the kitchen. It don't get turned on very often, but when it was, it's Hallmark. Man, they're broke. Since we started this fast, I ain't seen the Hallmark Channel. I didn't ask her, but it pretty much looks like she gave up TV. You know? No Hallmark. See, because Hallmark messes me up. See, because you see these actors in these superhero roles, and they're bad to the bone. And then you see the same bad actor. Not that their acting skills are bad. They're just playing a tough guy or a tough girl. But then you see them over here in a Hallmark movie, and they're like, ooh-hoo. I'm like, what have you done? See, you can't mix the two. They'll mess you up. Let me get back to my text. I did. I'm coming back up. Let's purpose in our heart this morning that we will seek God's face in the remaining 30-some days of our fast. Daniel sought God's face, I believe, 3 times a day. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that 3 times a day, but if you're in a situation where you can, by all means, do it. And I think I got a few prayer books left. Somebody asked for one this morning. Hey, going, you got my truck this morning. What else you need? You know, give him a hard time. So let's bring it back. Bring it back in, children. Let's come on. Come on back. Come on back. It's my fault. I led you astray. I loosed you for a second. Let's purpose in our heart like Daniel in the remaining 30-some days, because our nation needs it. The nation of Israel needs it. Let me tell you a little bit about Israel. You know, people think that Israel, when you get off the plane in Israel, that God is in the place. You get off a plane in Israel and you get shoved to the side and you're dragging your bags, and rude people are pushing you and shoving you. Yeah. Some people even take money out of your hand. Israel is very secular. Tel Aviv is like Las Vegas, Los Angeles. It's evil. Israel needs our prayers too. Amen. But Debbie was showing me something that was going on this month during Teshuvah. Did anybody else see it at the Western Wall, where there were thousands of Sephardic Jews? Sephardic Jews are Jews that are descendants of Jews from Morocco and Spain. If you hear the term Ashkenazi Jew, those are Jews from Europe, Poland, Germany, okay? And there are thousands of them, and they were standing at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. They were praying to God. And when I saw that picture, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. The anointing of God came on me, and I was thinking, man, they're ready for a Book of Acts outpouring. Whew. Last time that happened was about 2,000 years ago. How many know God wants to do it again? How many know God needs to do it again here in America? Amen. So right now this morning, I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm getting ready to close. Let's purpose in our heart the last 30-some days of this fast to seek God, to intercede for America and for the nation of Israel, and to pray that God would pour out his Spirit. Amen. You say, well, we're just a handful. Well, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm going to be in your midst. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, more than 12 here today. That's right. If one can cast out 1,000 and two, 10,000, well, you do the math. Hallelujah. I want everybody to bow their head real quick. Everybody bow their head. Because I had a bunch of scriptures about searching your heart, you know, but I think it's time for me to close up shop. But I just want to ask, if all hearts are clear this morning, is there anything in your heart this morning that's separating you from God? Does anyone need me to pray with you this morning? Anybody at all? Everybody good? Everybody good this morning? All right. You want to pray with me? Come on up here. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else? You need me to pray with you?